Crusade Channel News. News you can trust because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Tuesday, August 15th, 2017, the Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Funding for teen pregnancy programs has been cut by the Trump administration, and in today's Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, the boy martyr who died protecting the Blessed Sacrament. Suicide is lowering life expectancy, and Quebec and the Netherlands are in euthanasia news. Town Hall is reporting that 81 teen pregnancy prevention program grantees will not be receiving the funding they were promised by the Obama administration. They were supposed to be given $200 million through 2020, but the Department of Health and Human Services notified them last month that the funds would cease in June 2018. Live News reported that the program is a significant donor to Planned Parenthood. Valerie Huber, Chief of Staff to the Assistant Secretary for Health, oversees the office which manages the TPPP, and she wrote in an op-ed for The Hill, quote, "Policymakers finally have an opportunity to give American youth the reinforcement they need to continue to make healthy choices and to normalize sexual delay for all teens and especially for those teens who currently feel pressured to have sex by social media, their favorite music, or their sex education classes." A group of Democratic senators penned a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price saying, quote, "This action is short-sighted and puts at risk the health and well-being of women and our most vulnerable youth who depend on the evidence-based work that TPP program grantees are doing across the nation." Live Action reported on a UK study published in June, which demonstrated that upon analysis of data from 149 different UK municipalities, researchers came to the conclusion that as sex education funding was cut, so were rates of teen pregnancies and abortions. The teen pregnancy rate itself fell an astounding 42.6% and to its lowest levels since 1969. Today's quote of the day comes to us from St. Maximilian Kolbe. Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did. Coming up after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor St. Tarsicius. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, when I was a kid, being called a bookworm was an insult of the highest order. Today, people want to be called bookworm to solve the world's political problems. At the Founders Trading Post, we have the books you need to help solve the world's problems and save your soul, too. From Humility of Heart to Patrick Henry, American Statesman, get started on your bookworm bona fides today by browsing to mikechurch.com/books. Most of our books are also signed by the authors. Shop like a Jeopardy champion today at mikechurch.com. .com/books or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
St. Tarsicius was a 12-year-old acolyte who most likely lived during the persecutions of the Emperor Valerian. He was sent to bring the imprisoned Christians the Holy Eucharist one day because there was no deacon to send. On his way, he passed a group of children who asked him to play with them, and upon his refusal, they began to harass him over being a Christian. When they realized he was carrying the holy mysteries, they insisted upon getting a glimpse, but Tarsicius would not let them. They mobbed him with a fury and beat him so badly that he succumbed to his injuries as he was being taken back to the catacombs by a fellow Christian. He is a patron saint of altar boys and proof that holiness is for the young as well as the old. Saint Tarsicius, pray for us. Life News is reporting that life expectancy is declining for the first time since the 1930s because of increasing suicide rates. Referencing Aaron Cariety's article in First Things, they note that factors contributing to this increase in suicide are social fragmentation, overall decrease in religious involvement, utilitarianism, and an increase in assisted suicide laws. Cariety states that the problem can be simply boiled down to despair. Trends toward antisocial behavior were noted back in the mid-1990s, when it was brought to light that bowling leagues were decreasing despite larger numbers of bowlers than ever. Also decreasing were participation in school board meetings, town meetings, volunteering, and neighborhood interactions. The introduction of the internet and mobile devices only served to escalate this isolationist behavior. Coriety states that one factor that drastically reduces the risks of depression and suicide is participation in religious communities and the cultivation of virtues such as forgiveness and gratitude. A study of 89,000 people showed that people who, quote, attend any religious service once a week or more were 5 times less likely to commit suicide. Identification with a religion made no difference. Only participation did. Church Militant is reporting that Quebec is seeking to expand euthanasia to dementia patients. It was only 3 years ago that Canada's second-largest province legalized assisted suicide at all. The case of Michel Cadot and his now-deceased wife is what has prompted this legislative push. Cadot's wife, Jocelyne, developed Alzheimer's disease in 2006. And while he cared for her himself at first, it became too overwhelming for him and he placed her in a care facility. Cadot said his wife wanted to be euthanized, but it was impossible because dementia was not a valid reason under the law by which one could be euthanized. So Cadot took matters into his own hands, literally, and smothered his wife with a pillow to put her out of her misery. He was arrested and charged with second-degree murder, but his lawyers are arguing that her murder was a mercy killing. Right now, Canadian law requires the person to be euthanized to give consent to the killing immediately before it occurs, and this rules out those suffering with dementia from receiving assistance in suicide. Lawmakers are considering changing the law to allow patients with dementia to issue advance directives requesting euthanasia before they have completely lost their mental faculties. Alex Schattenberg of the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition states, quote, "Giving doctors the right to cause the death of their patients will never be safe. There will always be people who will abuse the power to cause death, and there will always be more reasons to cause death." The Telegraph is reporting on a disturbing story coming out of the Netherlands, in which an elderly couple committed suicide together by euthanasia. Nick and Tries Elderhorst, both 91, desired to die together, and understandably had been experiencing declining health. Mr. Elderhorst had a stroke in 2012 and was not as mobile as he had once been. Mrs. Elderhorst was also having more difficulty walking and, although experiencing some memory loss, was deemed mentally competent. Here's the clincher. The geriatrician, who declared her mentally competent, said that if Mr. Elderhorst were to die, she could become completely disoriented and might end up in a nursing home. So a couple of sound mind, not suffering from any terminal disease, choosing to commit suicide together so they can die together and avoid a nursing home. Dick Boscher of the Dutch Association of Voluntary Life Ending commented, quote, "It's factually a coincidence when both people meet the demands for euthanasia at the same time." I call it a travesty. In this Celestial Musings, a 21-year-old woman named Sydney Wojtaszek was arrested yesterday in Texas. Her crime? Abandoning her newborn in the grass outside her home because, according to her, she had no idea that she was pregnant and did not want the baby to cause issues with her boyfriend. Now, I'm looking at a picture of this woman from June, and she is thin, very thin, and with a belly that shows obvious signs of pregnancy. There is just no way these people didn't know what was going on. When neighbor Albert Peterson stumbled upon the baby girl at 5 a.m., she was covered in ants and screaming.
Bro, that's crazy. Somebody left their baby out here, bro. I need to call. We got to call 911, bro. I mean, Bridges of Cypress Creek, man. If anybody knows something, bro, just let me know.
Wojtaszek could receive up to 20 years in prison. The baby is in the hospital being treated for rapid heart rate and infection. Texas has a safe haven law, which would have enabled Sydney to drop her baby at a hospital, a fire station, or an EMS station without fear of prosecution. Texas was actually the first state to enact safe haven laws. Here I want to mention an effort by Monica Kelsey, who started the Safe Haven Baby Boxes organization. Kelsey herself was abandoned as an infant and has developed the Safe Haven Baby Boxes so that other women can place their babies in a safe spot and know that someone will be attending to the baby in a very timely manner. The way the box works is that first it is installed into a wall outside a fire station. A silent alarm sounds when the door is opened and the baby is placed into the very well-ventilated box that also has heating and cooling features. The silent alarm notifies emergency responders that a baby has been placed in the box and the infant is picked up within 3 to 5 minutes by first responders. Monica Kelsey says the boxes are very successful in third world countries precisely because they take the face-to-face interaction out of the surrendering process. This is a video from the Safe Haven Baby Boxes website about Safe Haven laws and the boxes.
Safe Haven law around this country is doing amazing things. I believe to date we've saved 3,007 babies in the last 15 years, where a woman legally walked into a fire station, police station, or hospital and surrendered her child, no questions asked. In that same time frame, though, 1,427 babies have been illegally dumped in our country.
The Safe Haven law provides that a mother of a newborn child within 30 days can bring that child to a police station or a fire station and relinquish the child without any fear of prosecution. The problem with that is most of those locations are kind of intimidating to a young mother who doesn't want to be identified.
Part of the reason why some of these women are choosing to abandon their babies instead of benefiting from the Safe Haven law is the fact that they don't know about the Safe Haven law.
The awareness and education is huge. We have to get the word to these young girls if we want them to utilize it.
It doesn't matter who I talk to, whether it's a friend in Nevada, a friend in Ohio, they don't know these laws exist. That is where I think we have failed these girls.
When you look at where these babies are being abandoned, they're being abandoned at the doors of churches, the doors of ERs, hospitals. These women, it's not that they don't love their child. They love their child. They go as far as they can, but they cannot do the face-to-face interaction. They walk to the church and they place their child at the door and they walk away. That says a lot. That says a lot for these mothers who are trying to do the right thing. They're telling us they need more, but no one's listening.
Imagine if that mother could have took that baby to a baby box where an alarm sounds and officials are notified that there is a child in that box and they can immediately dispatch fire and police and render aid to that infant child. And that mother knowing that that child will be cared for because she put that child in a safe place.
Now, when their mothers feel that they just can't do a parenting plan, that they can't do an adoption plan, and they just can't walk into a fire station and hand their child to a firefighter, we want them to know that there is a safe place for these babies, and that is one of the Safe Haven baby boxes that are electronically monitored. This child will be picked up within 3 to 5 minutes, and this mother will never be prosecuted. You know, this is a win for everyone. This is a win for the child, and this is a win for the mother. If your community wants to protect these children with a Safe Haven baby box by giving these young mothers a last resort, contact us. We will help you fundraise. We will help you with your awareness campaign. We have to be working together on this project in order to reach everyone. It's not just a one person job. It's a community job.
Indiana is the only state in the United States using the Safe Haven baby boxes, but hopefully more states will begin to pick up on them. How sad that Sydney Wojtaszek chose to throw two lives away rather than save them both. If she had thought a baby might cause issues with her boyfriend, imagine what a 20-year prison sentence will do. Serves her right for leaving her daughter in the bushes to be eaten up by bugs, when she could have dropped her safely at a church, a fire station, or a hospital. I sincerely hope she meets Jesus behind those bars. But behind bars is where she belongs for this supreme act of selfishness. Your contributions are welcome. If you have a news tip, send it to news@veritasradionetwork.com. Stay tuned now for the True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel, serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News. Live on your News, Talk, and Saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.